singing. And he saw some people coming. They were dancing. And he saw amongst those people, there was a very impressive looking person who had a woman sitting on his lap. This woman was white, really white. So Gopa Kumar wondered, who is this who seems to be above impersonal liberation? Yes, this person was not coming from the material worlds. He was coming from the other side. Gopa Kumar had come in, you know, through the coverings. This person was coming the other way. So it was Lord Shiva, and he was coming from Shiva Loka, which is beyond the material worlds, through the Brahma Jyoti. He was on his way to Kailash within the material world. This is what was happening. So Lord Shiva looked very amazing. His skin was white like camphor. He had three eyes. He was dressed only with the sky. And he had a charming garland. It is described as a charming garland of bones. Bones. B-O-N-E-S. Bones. Of great devotees. But it looked charming. So Gopa Kumar, he didn't know it's Lord Shiva. He doesn't know who is Lord Shiva. So he went to one of the more kind of prominent looking of the associates, who is Nandishvara, who is different from Nandi the bull. He is a human being, Nandishvara. And he asked him, who is this? Where does he live? And where is he going now? So Nandishvara explained, this is Lord Shiva, the Lord of the universe, the giver of liberation and devotional service. He's on his way to Kailash. Gopa Kumar, of course, had never heard of Lord Shiva. And then Nandishvara explained that actually he is one. He is not different from. He is one with Krishna. So then Gopa Kumar, he couldn't understand how could this be true, but he was attracted. How could Lord Shiva and Krishna be one? Because he does know that he's looking for Krishna. He knows. He's looking for a particular form of Krishna. So here now he's hearing that Lord Shiva and Krishna are one. So he can't understand it, but he's attracted. So he followed on as they went traveling on. He followed with them. And Nandishvara started explaining something about the oneness, although it doesn't say there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita really how he explained the oneness. But then to encourage Gopa Kumar, he explained, because see the idea here is that Gopa Kumar, he may stay and become a follower of Lord Shiva because he's one with Krishna. So why not? So Nandishvara, in order to encourage Gopa Kumar to do this, explains different reasons why the followers of Lord Shiva are satisfied following him and they don't follow Lord Vishnu. In other words, he's saying that Lord Shiva is kind of higher than Lord Vishnu, which is not entirely true, not really true. So he said, he always remains, I think you should note these points down. Lord Shiva always remains in one form. In other words, he never becomes formless like Lord Mahakala. So you would be better off following him. He, and then another aspect of that is, he is very stable. He's a very stable person. His personality is very stable. He, not only does he not become formless like Lord Mahakala, but he doesn't manifest multi-forms like Lord Vishnu. Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Varaha, Lord Kurama, Lord Ram, this form, that form, so many forms. You know, it's enough. I guess Nandishvara thinks it's enough to make a person a little schizophrenic. You don't know who you're dealing with. And he never goes away. He never leaves. His devotees are always satisfied because he's always with them. He never leaves them. So now, of course, this is not entirely true, but this is Nandishvara being enthusiastic about his Lord Shiva and trying to encourage Gopakumar to join them and become one of the followers of Lord Shiva and stay. So then he mentions some other things. They're nice characteristics of Lord Shiva. He's always having festivals glorifying the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And he acts in such ways. He manifests certain non-different aspects to encourage his followers to become attracted to him, but then to become attracted to Lord Vishnu. So he manifests some features that Lord Vishnu has. His followers become attracted to him on the basis of those features, but then they become attracted to Lord Vishnu later. You know, they kind of graduate on to Lord Vishnu, who has those features more. And he humbly worships Lord Shesha. Now, the reason he worships Lord Shesha is because Lord Shesha has like a connection with Lord Shiva in that they both take part in the process of universal devastation. Lord Shesha is also involved in the process of devastation with Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva worships him. So Gopakumar, he got inspired and he thought, all right. He started preaching to his mind, come on, just be satisfied with this Lord Shiva. He is the Lord of the universes. He is very wonderful. So he tried to convince himself that now I've found my Lord. But then he found that he wasn't so satisfied. Because he kept on chanting his mantra and he was getting more realization that actually this Lord Shiva, he may be non-different in some respects, but he's not so non-different. He's not particularly non-different. You know, there are some differences, and particularly he's not so sweet as Lord Madan Gopal. He's not so beautiful. He's not so sweet. So Lord Shiva noticed this, and he manifested a Gopal form. And Gopakumar was quite attracted by this. But what did he do? He kept chanting his mantra. And then he realized that this is not, even though it's Gopal, he's not the same as my Gopal, Madan Gopal. He's not the same. So this was going on. Suddenly, they heard some amazing singing. Gopakumar had never heard singing like this before. It was very incredible singing. The whole party stopped. Suddenly, Lord Shiva became totally overwhelmed with ecstasy. He fell off Nandi, started dancing wildly. Gopakumar looked in the direction of the singing. He saw a group of four armed people. The sight of them was so amazing, Gopakumar became speechless. They were incredibly beautiful. Their effulgences made the followers of Lord Shiva almost invisible. They were so beautiful, they made their ornaments beautiful. And they were accompanied by Sanaka. And Gopakumar was struck by this, because he knew that we met in Tapaloka. But the thing is, Sanaka, well, there is a description that here at this particular point of how Sanaka, well, the four Kumars actually, the four Kumars, that they are not really residents of Tapaloka. They are residents of Vaikuntha. But they're there on Tapaloka to encourage the inhabitants of Tapaloka and direct them and guide them. But actually they're inhabitants of Vaikuntha. Anyway, Gopakumar became so overwhelmed that he didn't know, am I seeing them with my eyes or with my mind? Am I seeing them externally or internally? He wanted to surrender at their lotus feet and become their servant, but he couldn't say anything. He felt too insignificant, and he was struck speechless anyway. Lord Shiva lunged forward and started embracing them and collapsed in a trance. So then, on the request of Uma Devi, the wife of Lord Shiva, Ganesh came and quietly informed Gopakumar, these are inhabitants of Vaikuntha. Yes, he didn't want to say it or any of the things he was about to say too loud, because he didn't want to confuse the associates of Lord Shiva. So he quietly told Gopakumar that these are inhabitants of Vrindavan, of Vaikuntha. They're on their way to visit different universes. Some of them are going to four-headed Brahma's universes, some eight-headed, some 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, and so on. And why are they going? They're going to protect the devotees and to spread devotional service. And he explained they're even going to protect the devotees who only chant Krishna's name as a joke. You know, we get this, don't we get this so much? Haribol! You know, I mean, when you're walking through the streets of Vrindavan and here and there, get all these mischievous little people, and in there, you know, they're not, as we say Haribol to each other, they're not saying Haribol to us like that. It's like, you know, hurry ball, and but they're kind of pulling our legs. Of course, they're special here in Vrindavan. But you get people like that. They chant Hare Krishna as a joke or in a negligent way, an ignorant way, or in other words, namabas, that stage of the clearing stage of chanting or something connected to it, preliminary part of it. So even people like that, these, Ganesh explained, these inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they're going to protect them and help them and all the devotees, actually. So Gopakumar, he felt, I want to join them. I want to go to that place that they've come from. So Lord Shiva saw this and spoke to Gopakumar and said that, you know, it's not easy. He said, Lord Brahma and I are struggling. We're striving to go there. That if you perform, there's one verse Lord Shiva speaks in his prayers in the fourth canto, the song sung by Lord Shiva, that if you perform your duties, Varnashram duties, perfectly for 100 lifetimes, you can become Lord Brahma, or we heard the other day, an associate at least. If not, you know, it's not that easy to become a Lord Brahma. But if you get 100 times more mercy, you can become Lord Shiva, or an associate of Lord Shiva. So, Lord Shiva says, if you get 100 times more mercy than that, then you can go to Vaikuntha. But then he told Gopakumar a very amazing thing. He said, actually, I can see you are qualified. You know why you're qualified? By the mercy of your guru and through chanting the mantra. For these two reasons, by the potency of these two things, these two parts of your life, you have the qualification. You can go there. Then Lord Shiva said, you know, look, my abode, it's only for the impersonalists. You don't want to stay here. Don't stay here. I just do this, you know, I just attract people here because it's my service. The Lord wants me to do it. But actually, I don't really want to do it. It's not for the devotees. And he tells Gopakumar, just avoid my abode. Just avoid it. And actually, Lord Shiva said a very interesting thing. He said, normally, when people come to my abode, Mahakalapur, when people come to my abode, normally they cannot see Lord Mahakala. But it's just because you are such an advanced devotee, therefore you are able to see Lord Mahakala. Otherwise, you'd just, you know, you wouldn't be able to. So then the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, hearing Lord Shiva speaking in a very humble way about himself, they came and glorified Lord Shiva and Parvati as partial incarnations. They said, you're not different from our Lord, Vaikunthanath. And Uma is not different from Parvati as partial expansions. So, you know, not absolutely, but as partial expansions. And they said that you are such a nice devotee, you are qualified also. Yes, this is, you have expressed a very suitable mood. So then they started speaking to Gopakumar, saying that we count you as one of us, that we have come for you. We have come here for you. And I think we'll continue on tomorrow. Is that okay? I'll just tell you another thing they say. They say that your guru, Jayanta, is a form of Krishna. Now, they don't mean that he's actually an avatar as such, but in the Shaktyavesh sense. And they say his name is Jayanta. So here we find out the name of his guru. His name is Jayanta, and he is from Mathura, and he is a type of incarnation of Krishna, an empowered type of incarnation. But they have come from Vaikuntha to get him, Gopakumar. They're not going to take him right now, but they've come to instruct him how he can come to Vaikuntha. So then they're going to instruct him in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and then particularly, well, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti in terms of the 9 processes, but particularly the process of chanting, and particularly the process of chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? The question is that in regard to how Ganesh, on the instruction of Parvati, explained to Gopakumar who these Vaikuntha residents are. So the question is, does that mean that he's also beyond the modes? Well, it appears from this description that at least, there is a form of Ganesh who's associating with that form of Lord Shiva who's above the modes. There are different forms of Lord Shiva who are in different positions. So there is certainly the form of Lord Shiva, and this is him, who gives liberation. He gives it, what to speak of having it or being beyond the modes. So it appears that his intimate associates are with him also in that capacity. At least that appears to be the import of the way it's presented here. Although, there's no detailed description of what is the position of this Ganesh and, how it all works. But it appears that this is all going on beyond the modes right at this point in time. Yeah. So it appears there's a form of Ganesh who's in that position. Or, in other words, there are certain associates of Lord Shiva who are in that position, or who have, certain features who are in that position. Although there may be other forms of themselves who are not exactly in that position. Ganesh, he's famous as a pure devotee of Lord Nrsingadev, actually. And, Rupa Goswami recommended to worship Ganesh to remove obstacles in devotional service. Now, of course, that's getting into a kind of like a more esoteric area of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and we don't do that. And Prabhupada himself explained that we should not try to do it. But it appears that, for some people, with certain qualification in Krishna consciousness, that it is practical for them in transcendental terms to worship Ganesh, but as that devotee of Lord Nrsingadev. Any other comment or question? Srila Prabhupada explains that if we, or at least, you know, what would constitute a Krishna conscious type of demigod worship for us would be reciting the verses from Brahma Samhita, which talk about, you know, certain of the demigods. Yeah. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada never spoke about another, you know, more like a process of puja or something like that. Although it's there, you know, I mean, in the Gaudiya Mutt, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta himself established it, according to my understanding. In some places they worship Lord Shiva as a devotee. And in their temples, you may have seen in some of their temples, they have Lord Shiva. And, you know, there's some sort of process of worship of him as a Vaishnava. But Srila Prabhupada didn't get us into it, and he suggested, you know, if we want to recognize their position sort of in a Krishna conscious way, we can chant those verses from Brahma Samhita. Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we're continuing today with the rest of chapter 3, part 2. In which the inhabitants of Vaikuntha preach to Gopakumar. And up on your left-hand side of the board, a couple of the headings actually from yesterday. Those are the two parts we didn't go through of chapter 3, that the inhabitants of Vrindavan instruct Gopakumar to perform Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, consisting of the 9 different devotional processes. So they, first of all, they establish the practice of devotional service as such, as being the best thing to do. And then the second part, they say that of the 9 processes, process of chanting is most important, and particularly the process of chanting the names. There are names, pastimes, qualities, philosophy, but the chanting of the names is the best. And as part and parcel of that, they say that it is better than meditation, or better than just remembering the Lord. Meditation means the highest stage of remembrance. So chanting is better than remembering, and better even than meditating. And if you chant, then you will come to see the Lord directly, even with these eyes, by His mercy. And when you see the Lord, that is better than seeing Him, so to speak, in meditation within the heart. To see Him externally, so to speak, in front of you, is better than perceiving Him or seeing Him in meditation. That, of course, Pipalayana had said, that meditation is the best process, or remembering specifically, culminating and meditating on the Lord, that's the best process. And to see the Lord in meditation is the best experience, the best way to see Him. better than seeing him with one's eyes or seeing him externally. But the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they are going to endeavor to defeat that philosophy today. So, we were there in Mahakalapura.